Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house this Sunday in Epiphany. And Jeremy Jones was playing his prelude with us here at Our Savior, Port Huron, Michigan. And good to have you here for our worship. I know snowbirds are listening to podcasts of this service because they tell me. And the update of the weather is it's a typical Michigan day. Light snow, powdered snow on the ground, and 67 degrees. Wish you were here. No, not at all. It's Michigan. Yesterday, had the opportunity to serve a family for Diane Grove at Yale, Michigan. Mother of Christy Hendricks, an extended part of the Congregation of Our Savior, who lives herself in Lexington with her husband Jason, grandson of Charlotte Pelton. And mother of 64 years of age had passed away this last week. We did a memorial service up there at Kat's funeral home. And like small towns, they're really neat, because the funeral home was absolutely packed with over 120 people. There was not a spare chair, and it was good to give witness to Christ and to the resurrection that Christ gives us. So happy to do that for families, not members of Our Savior, in service to God and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This day we celebrate Eucharist. We take great joy as people of God to share in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we begin our service from our bulletin, sir. Please rise with confession. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering song for this day is God, whose almighty word we sing to his glory.
Yeah.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We sing the two verses there. It continues to the next page, verse 1 and 3. To God be the glory. If you'll join me in the prayer of the day, we pray it together. Lord God, with endless mercy, you receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us the things we ought to do, and give us the grace and the power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the reading of God's Word. First lecture is Doug Cole.
Shortly after the return of Israel from exile in Babylon, the people were troubled by the ineffectiveness of their fast. God reminds them that outward observance is no substitute for genuine fasting that results in acts of justice, such as feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless, and clothing the naked. The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 58, beginning at verse 1. Shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness, it did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thorns of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicators shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose water never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. Word of God, words of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Doug. Psalm for the day is one which we read in unison, please. Psalm 112, selected verses 1 through 9 for the lectionary of the day. If you'll join me. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion. It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice, for they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance. They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their enemies. They will be given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor. The wicked will see it. They're going to be angry. They will gnash their teeth and pine away. For desires of the wicked will perish. Before the second reading, I have a special announcement from Faith Doris Bacher, our Director of Family Life, to the congregation.
It says children's message, but the kids are downstairs assembling the subs, so not a children's message.
Right.
On Wednesday, I announced to our youth that we're here for Wonderful Wednesday that there will be a change to the Family Life program. I have accepted a full-time position down in the metro area with a Christian counseling center, so I will no longer be with the church full-time as the director of Family Life Ministries. So as I part with the church full-time, I will still be a part of the youth ministry program as a volunteer and continue to be with them in prayer and as I can in some capacity. I feel that we have accomplished the goals that we set out to with the church. We started out looking at it as a two-year program, and then we had a bonus for a third year. So we did accomplish a lot, and the kids have accomplished a lot in some of their goals as well, and we will continue to work with them, and we have some great volunteers and that will continue to work with them as well. And I will work with them in some sort of capacity. Will it be the same? No, but there will be something to work with them as well. Today we are announcing that to the whole congregation, and I wanted to start with you guys at the 8:30 service. And we'll continue to lift up the youth ministry and family life program in prayers and keep that going in some sort of capacity and see where the Lord takes us at Our Savior for this program and for the youth so that they will continue to have progress and have ministry because this is a very strong group and strong in faith.
Thank you, Faith. You want to say about next Sunday?
Yes, next Sunday there will be a special luncheon and everybody obviously is welcome to be there and nothing for you to bring except for your wonderful selves.
Thank you. Our second reading by Kathy Cole.
Though people, such as the Corinthians, are enamored with human philosophy and wisdom, Paul continuously presents God's hidden wisdom, which is Jesus Christ crucified. True spiritual maturity involves judging ourselves and others in light of God's revelation in the cross. The second reading comes from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and then 13 through 16. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, that what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. We have a special music selection by Donna Taylor and Jennifer Hudson. Charity. Thank you. If you're able to stand, we speak the gospel acclamation together. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The gospel text for the day, Matthew 5. Those of you who have studied Matthew, you know chapters 5 through 7 are the Sermon on the Mount. This is just one continuation of last week's Beatitudes. So we begin with verse 13. Jesus said, "You who follow me are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything, but it's thrown out. It's trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. You're a city built upon a hill, and it cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but rather on a lampstand, that it will give light to all who enter in the house. The same way, your light shall shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law nor the prophets. I come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, unless heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments, teaches others to do the same, will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. Sermon outline inside back cover, raising the rhetorical question, how many times does God have to tell his people what he wills for them to do, but they reinterpret it to fit their own situation? A couple of weeks ago, we saw Micah 6:8. What does the Lord your God require of you, O Son of Man? It's very simple. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Do that, you got it right with God. Deviate, you experience God's judgment. Understanding that, it's consistent with all the prophets. His standard is very simple. It's a standard of love, compassion, and justice. And that special selection they sang, not knowing it was going to be chosen, is really a good summary point of all the lessons for the day. Old Testament lesson. It's really neat how the Lord, speaking through his prophet, sets up an adversarial, jury-bound system with God as judge, a jury listening, assuming the counsel of heaven, and the charges are against God's elect, you know, people like you and I who think we've got an in with God. So God addresses Israel and he says, you come to me. You give me public acts of worship and piety. And then you go out and literally put the shaft to your neighbor. Do you think that's what God wants for you? A public hypocrisy display in your piety before the public, the other believers of Israel, and then you go and do dirty things behind the scene. God says, no, let me tell you what I expect of you, Israel, my people. I want you, when you see the hungry, I want you to feel not just a feeling. I want your feeling of compassion to turn to action. When you see something wrong, I want you to correct it. I don't want you to go out and either participate in it or slough it off and say, does it apply to me? The reality is, God says, love is still the controlling factor whether you're under the Torah or you're under the cross. You are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's kind of interesting. This last week on one of the game shows, it must have been Jeopardy. You know, and these are intelligent people. They don't get up there unless they've been screened pretty sanitized. And they asked them, what was the golden rule? And they could not name it. Wonder what's wrong with America. We don't even know, do unto others as you would want them to do to you. You see, that's a double-edged sword. If Israel goes out and shafts their neighbor and lesser ones in the society, the poor, the oppressed, then you're really giving grounds for God to give you the shaft. Is that what you want? We're to care for our neighbors. Consider their reputation, consider their livelihood. You have a social responsibility for each other. You just don't come into the synagogue, temple, or church and walk away feeling righteous because you did your ceremonial duty, but you did not fulfill what God had asked you to do. The reality is Israel is under judgment. If they don't change their ways, they will see the dark side of God. He wants acts of kindness, justice, charity. He wants us to bear his light to the world, which is the theme of Epiphany, carrying the light outside of the family of faith. In the second reading, the Apostle Paul, some 35 years ago, there was a cute little thing I had seen in one of the pastor's readings. And it was a statement. It gave you kind of a generic description of a candidate for ministry. That is to say, if you blindly didn't see a name on the dossier for this candidate, would you consider them as a candidate for being pastor of your church? Okay. This man was not formally educated. He came to his own special knowledge of God. Comma. He has served in different settings, but never long in any one particular church. Comma. Every time he spoke, he divided the people, and people went as far as wanting to tar and kill him. Comma.
He offended people, comma. He spoke forthrightly, and he thought he knew more than all the elders and teachers of the faith, comma. And then he preached something that most of us in our existence would call heresy, comma. Here he is. He's seeking your acceptance. Can he come and serve you? I think in most churches, doesn't matter what denomination, whatever polity you exist under, most of us would have screened him out real quick and tossed it in the side file. But it actually describes the life of the Apostle Paul. Anywhere he went, there was a division of the house. They found little things. They found what they thought were big things. And they were ready to tar and feather him. Ah, that's a pastor you want. Then he said things that were controversial. In Corinthians, we're only beginning to scratch the next several weeks, as I told you 3 weeks ago, some pretty controversial statements and confrontational statements, Paul says. He talks about their divisiveness. I mean, he goes head on into the issues. He doesn't dance around them to be politically correct. And he deals with the subjects that most people would just like to slide under the carpet. And Paul says, we're not, because we are one body in Christ. And if we don't fulfill that oneness to the world, why would the world ever want to join us? We are the light. We carry the love. We bear witness to the truth. And like last week's epistle lesson of Corinthians, we're even fools in the eyes of the world. Because we dare to proclaim that God is alive and this Jesus once dead, and we are seeing that testimony. He's death. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And Paul, even though he wasn't physically at the empty tomb, he wasn't even near Jesus upon the ascension. If you know the biography of Paul on the road to Damascus, many weeks, years later, Jesus appears to him. Some of the Jewish leaders thought he was in heat stroke. You didn't see Jesus. He isn't alive. Paul says, oh, yes, he is. He blinded me. And then he restored my vision. And I did not go back to Jerusalem for formal training in this gospel, but rather I went out to the desert. And there God talked to me directly. What a kook. And he called me to ministry to the Gentiles, not to the Jews. So whenever he was being confronted in those outlying jurisdictions, going to the synagogues, trying to bring the Jews into the faith, and their rejection of him and the gospel, the Gentiles received him. His ministry bore fruit. And because it did, you and I are here today. You're not Jewish, are you? You're Gentile. You have been engrafted into the tree of life. If you had to ask yourself which side was right or wrong, the Judaizers who criticized Paul or Paul, you'd be foolish to say the other team. It was Paul's team that you and I are part of. We're the fruit of. The reality is God does bind us together. God does call us to be one body. And, you know, sometimes Paul maybe over-exaggerates his qualifications and underestimates himself. He says, look, people, you see me at my best and my worst. I'm going to tell you right now, when I came to you, I was not an eloquent speaker, orator. I was not trained in Dale Carnegie and how to win friends and influence people. I was trained in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm talking to you the gospel. I didn't try to impress you, Corinthians. I did try to bring you life through Jesus Christ. And if you believe it, the message, not the messenger, then you have life in his name. Paul was never passing buttons, running for political office. He wasn't a Trump. He wasn't a Hillary. He was a broken man. Everything he lived for turned sour and wrong. And he was corrected by God's Holy Spirit and the risen Jesus to change the path. Now, if that isn't life-shattering, gut-wrenching, and turning your world upside down, then you don't know what conversion is. Because that's what conversion is. Changing your head to your bottom to your head, and it shakes you to the core. And Jesus Christ becomes central above all else. When that experience takes place, as it has throughout history and still goes today, you read the accounts in church history of people who met the Lord through major crises, major struggles, who come to understand the power of Almighty God through this person, Jesus Christ, not the Apostle Paul, no pastor, but through the saving news of Jesus Christ. And like Paul says, it is the true power of God. And he has used me and the Holy Spirit to bring you, the believer, the message of Jesus Christ. Paul does not have a chip on his shoulder. He isn't trying to prove anything. If anything, he's devaluating himself to elevate the gospel, as it should always be elevated among God's people. In the Matthew text, we heard the Beatitudes last week. And we heard the one, blessed are you if you are persecuted. People speak all kinds of lies and rumors about you. Rejoice, be glad, for your reward is in heaven. For such they have done to the prophets before you. Now we follow with this passage. He says, you are to be the salt of the world. You, the church of Jesus Christ, my disciples, those who bear my name, if you call yourself a Christ follower, then you have to understand what Christ wants of his followers. Not what you want to give him, right? But what God calls you to be for him. Salt. When Jesus says, is salt any good after it loses its saltiness? That's a silly statement. In a book by Elton Trueblood, a Quaker theologian, he wrote The Humor of Christ. This is one example he quotes. Jesus' humor was a little bit different than what you and I think of belly laughing, rolling humor. It was something strange, bizarre, to stop you in your tracks and think about it, like, if you criticize your neighbor and you want to take the speck out of his eye, how about if you take the log out of yours? Elton Trueblood, that's humor. Then when we come to the humor of Christ about the salt, salt is a chemical compound, sodium. It does not lose its characteristics. Jesus never took chemistry 101, but he knew it. It was a preservative in the ancient world where there was no refrigeration. If salt loses its saltiness, impossibility, what good is it? No good, because it was made to be salt. If God's people do not live as God's people, what good are we? That's what we were made for. May as well be tossed out. You're worthless. Of course, God's people don't want to hear that any more than Israel in the Old Testament wanted to hear God's going to trample over you. And then, how about a lamp? I don't know about you, as my cataract grows greater, I need more light. Some of you don't like night driving. I hear it all the time from our members. Because illumination is so powerful. If you light a candle, you don't go under and cover it up. The purpose of the candle is what? Illumination. Oh, Jesus, that's funny. Well, they didn't think it was funny. He's hitting them right between the eyes. And so, if you have lit that candle for light, and God has given you his light, what do you think your purpose is? To hide your Christianity? Don't bear witness to the truth? Don't show acts of kindness and gentleness, mercy? No, to be the light. For that is why God fashioned you. You're not there. Light goes out. But you were made to be light and salt. Don't deny your purpose. You know, and sometimes in church life, I've been in it long enough, over 4 decades, you hear people still not getting the dream, the vision of God for his people, because we like to refashion it in our way. You know, Pastor, we have to take care of our own first. How about God takes care of us if we're faithful to God? That's what my Bible reads. Somebody else may see it differently, but God takes care of those who are faithful to God. It's when we start looking selfishly or narcissistically at ourselves, the churches die. That's a fact. We exist to give ourselves away. We exist just like when I took the funeral for yesterday. I could have easily have said, I'm tired. I'm under a lot of stress. I don't want to go to Yale. No. And believe me, I'm an introvert, and I would rather huddle among people I know rather than people I'm less familiar with. I'm like most Michiganers. And the reality is, but Christ calls me out to be with others so that I can take his light to the world. He does the same for you. Take us out of comfort into discomfort to be the salt, the light, the love of Jesus Christ to a world God loves. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. And we sing our hymn of the day, Jesus, the very thought of thee.
Thank you.
If you'll please rise, we affirm together the faith anchored in our God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Together we confess. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our worship continues with our prayers for God's people.
Called to be a light to the nations, let us pray for God's justice, peace, and healing. Eternal God, you are one in three and three in one. Strengthen the ministry of the World Council of Churches and the Lutheran World Federation. Solidify ecumenical partnerships as they work to break the bonds of injustice and let the oppressed go free. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Send relief where storms and floods overwhelm. Provide shelter and safe habitat for all creatures. Protect the seeds and bulbs for the spring and fall harvest. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Ignite the nations with the flame of justice. Enlighten the leaders of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank with your wisdom. Guide government officials to seek economic justice in their communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Comfort the afflicted, compassionate God. Accompany all who wait on death row. Reconcile families torn apart by crime and addiction. Heal the brokenhearted with the newly diagnosed and all who suffer. Be with Ed O'Connor, Maria Rumpf, Lois Pike, the family of Christy Hendricks and the passing of their mother. Be with those serving our nation, Tristan Morrison, Rob Nolan, and Jamie Soulier, and be with those returning safely from their service at home and overseas, and those returning to our communities. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Fill those who form with faith with others with insight and energy. Multiply the fruit of their labor. Grow disciples eager to feast on your living word and embody it each and every day. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We thank you for all the saints who dared to shine with the light of Christ. Compel us to shine freely and witness to your abundant grace each and every day. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Receive these prayers in the name of Christ, the light of the world, who is the one with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's Church. Reminder along the way that you don't walk autopilot out the door after worship, that if you purchased soups or subs from the youth group to support them, this year was the least supported year. So consequently, they're going to stop making subs and soups as they have done for over 20 years. And so it goes. But please go downstairs. They will have them ready because they've been working on them during this service time. You'll also see radio broadcast this day is sponsored by Florence Opplinger. And we thank her for that sponsorship. You also see in the box on the front panel of the Now, we have our second of the two training of deacons to serve within the worship congregational life of this church. And then if others have missed it, if they'll make a personal appointment with the church office, we'll have somebody to work with you personally, but we wanted to do it as groups, to have group questions and answers. In 10 days, we have the church council meeting. Encourage all members, you don't have to be elected to council to have voice if you're a member of the church and you're allowed to be present for a church council meeting. The next thing is that we do installation at both services, as we do every year, for all the offices of the church, so church council, non-church council, for leadership in this church. So next week, either service installation will take place. You also see the menu for Wonderful Wednesdays. We give you the beginning of 4 weeks of the meals that the committee has put together. We have 8 people on the committee, and they each jump in to plan the meal and do portions of it, so you get a composite of everybody making their specialties. So please come out if you can. We've also lowered the price from $4 to $3, from $2.50 for youth to $2. So that is there for your information. You also see that I had a new members class. If you'd like to be part of one, I'll put you back on the calendar. But tomorrow night, you know, when we installed the Discovery team last week, and as we install Church Council next week, we take vows that says we will grow in the Word of God. I don't know what that means to everybody, but I think I know as a pastor that means you study it. Now, you can do it personally, disciplined, or you can do it corporately with other people. I offer classes year-round with different themes, and you can't say the pastor doesn't choose something relevant to you because I ask you to come tomorrow night and tell me what you want to study. It's open-ended. So please come out, study the Word of God, the distinguishable characteristics for God's people. Many other things, read them carefully. Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. Please rise.
Merciful God, receive the gifts we bring ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Through this meal, unite us as your body, shining with the light of your justice and mercy. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it, he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After the supper, he took the cup and he gave thanks. He gave it for all to drink. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread, drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. As God's people, instructed by our Lord, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. And if you'll please be seated, come And we sing our hymns, the prayer of St. Francis, make me an instrument. It's good. Christ's body for you. Christ's body shed for you, Scott. Take a drink. Depart in our Lord's peace. Welcome to the Lord's table.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.